Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast and on YouTube. We're coming to you from Kawea Brewing Company in Visalia, California, in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley. And this is this special edition episode that we tried to get to 3 months ago, where we tried to take your questions, but coronavirus hit. Last time we talked about, a few days ago, California issues, talked about the election issues and took questions. But now we're going to go into the Russiagate hoax. And we had questions from all over the country on the Russia hoax. And so a lot of you, I want to thank you all for calling in with the questions. What we did is we kind of picked questions that a lot of you had asked, and we summed them up into one clip. But Jairus and Jimmy, thank you. Thanks again for doing this special edition.
Yeah.
And we're going to get right into it because we're going to have fake news, which I know is a good, important topic to a lot of people out there. So let's get right to our first question from Paula on holding the fake news accountable.
Can the fake news media ever be held to account for bold-faced lies that they tell?
As many of you know out there, I've got multiple lawsuits going against the fake news companies for defamation, slander, libel, also looking at some of the tech companies. So look, I'm doing everything I can as an elected official to try to hold these folks accountable. And, you know, we've just degraded in a way in this country to where we don't have a free and fair press. A lot of you guys have heard me talk about this. But we have a press that's really kind of just went down the toilet, so to speak, where we don't have kind of the old legacy press anymore. There's just so many more platforms, which is why I do this podcast, so I can get directly to my constituents and people around the country and around the globe. So, Jairus, you've been watching, you're a young man, you do your own media. Fake news, we can hold them accountable?
I think you hold them accountable by just turning them off. If President Trump has not reminded you, their ratings are in the toilet, CNN and MSNBC, just turn them off. And I think what you said about the legacy of journalism, they're not taken as seriously as they used to. And to a degree, I mean, they deserve no one's sympathy. They've done this to themselves. We didn't just wake up one day and decide we're going to start hating fair and free journalism. Really, fair and free journalism started hating half the country. So, you know, I don't think they deserve our sympathy. I already think, as you've said, they've lost a lot of relevancy. And I think just turning it off and turn it on the Devin Nunes podcast.
Yeah, and you know, and it does show just the number of folks that are downloading my podcast and other people's podcasts, the way that people receive their information is changing. And Jimmy, you actually started your own podcast recently. You do one with Alex Tavlian, who has been a longtime political person around these parts. Right in college, he started his own press outlet, and now he started his own nonprofit and really volunteering time to build The Sun. But he also has a podcast with you. So what are you guys doing to get around the fake news?
You know, what we decided to do was, especially just in the Central Valley and in the local level, is that we saw that the local newspaper was not covering not just elections, but just week to week, month to month, year to year, the ongoings of inside the Beltway. So something that what we wanted to do with our show was, it wasn't always going to be political, but it always kind of went back to what was going on in this town, which is what we've called it. And we always said there are certain things that happen in this town that only happen here, that in other cities they would be held accountable. In our city, they don't get held accountable. And I think that starts with the newspaper. And you can't just blame the Fresno Bee. I think that newspapers are, you know, across the country are having this problem, is that they never felt, like you were talking about, that the multitude of platforms were going to be available for people. They never believed it. They thought that their old way of doing things was going to continue to work. And when they realized it wasn't going to, they were very, very disappointed when they found out that the usual advertisers were not going to be spending money. They had to start laying people off. The business of their newspaper failed. And now they have to get into National Enquirer, making stuff up, going after individuals during campaign time and not. So you're not going to be able to hold them accountable because they're going to be gone. I really do think that the traditional way of newspapers are going away.
Right. So the people that are listening to your podcast, which is really local, localized on Valley issues here. Those are people that are taking time to listen to local issues. You guys talk about a lot of issues that I wouldn't get to on this show. But between what I'm doing and what you're doing with your podcast and what you do on the radio, Jarris. Those are viewers and listeners that have essentially gone away from the traditional media.
Correct. And, that's good. I think that's good that, you know, obviously evolution happens in regards to media. And yeah, it's going to be painful for a while. But I think the old guard is slowly but surely going away. So ignore them and they'll go away.
That's the answer. Okay. So we had multiple questions on Russiagate. So we consolidated a couple, but a lot of you had a lot of Russiagate questions. And as you know, these were done over 2 months ago. But a lot of the questions are still good and relevant as we continue to get more and more information out on the hoax, and the investigations are ongoing by the Department of Justice to hold the dirty cops accountable at both the DOJ and FBI that were involved with the Democratic Party and the Clinton campaign. But producer Steve, let's play clip 2 and 3 on the Russia hoax.
What will happen to the investigations if the Democrats win control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency in 2020? Will they be totally swept under the rug, or can they keep going?
My question is, if the federal statute of limitations is 5 years, all the crimes and corruptions that happened in 2015, they're ready to fall off. So am I correct in that? That there will not be accountability for anything during that time frame and sooner. Thank you.
So the good thing now, since those questions were asked, we now know that we have 3 U.S. attorneys, one from Connecticut, one from Missouri, and one from Texas, that are now looking into all these issues. So nothing has expired. I think the challenge will be, can you build a case? And who are you going to indict? Those are the questions that really need to be answered. But what I think we know now is we started with the attorney general saying, I want to know what really happened here, because the Mueller report was a total waste of money, a total scam. We learned absolutely nothing from it. They didn't get to the bottom of Russian disinformation and possibly in the dossier to who was this Joseph Mifsud guy that originally spoke to George Papadopoulos. So I think a lot of the listeners and viewers know that it was a Mueller investigation was a waste. So we started with the attorney general saying, look, we need to get to answer all of those questions for the American public. That now has expanded into 3 U.S. attorneys that are looking at this. We, the House Republicans on the Intelligence Committee, have made criminal referrals. We continue to make more criminal referrals. But Jimmy, I'll go to you. You watched this from afar, from here in the Valley. But what would you like to see come of these investigations?
I know we talked about this in the last episode, and I'll bring it back. I am a pessimistic person, and nothing will happen. Nothing. And because this is what's going to happen, I think they're going to go into it. They're going to have some evidence. They're going to have all sorts of misinformation, and it's going to be time to bring it up. And all of a sudden, there's going to be some sort of reason why they cannot bring it to an indictment. There's going to be some way that they say, sorry, we just can't bring it up because they're on another case that needs to be brought up. It's going to be something, and I don't expect anything in regards to indictments on these folks. Sorry, I once again, I'm being pessimistic and being Mr. Nasty on this one, but I'm expecting zero, nothing.
We're asking people to come up and call in and ask questions, and I want you to give your honest assessment opinion.
Yep.
Jarris?
I have to join Jim in the pessimism, unfortunately. Now, I do have some good news. There is some good news. I can guarantee you that there will be no results if Donald Trump is not reelected president of the United States. I can tell you this right now, because that inadvertently keeps William Barr in his position. Joe Biden, who I don't even think could point out Russia on a map, let's be honest, he's not keeping anyone in anything from the Trump administration in there. So while I'm pessimistic like you, I think there might be zero. It's going to be absolutely zero if he's not reelected and if William Barr is no longer attorney general.
Well, look, I think you're like a lot of Americans around the world. I continue to have confidence because I think there's tremendous evidence there. I think a lot of people want to see political players held accountable, and that's more complicated because they're not the ones who perpetrated the fraud on the United States. I mean, they weren't the ones who doctored emails, who clearly were involved in a conspiracy with the Clinton campaign. But I continue to believe that the people that were all involved in this will at least be, at a minimum, be held accountable. Some will be indicted. I really do believe that. And I think if there's not, I think there'll be a tremendous distrust moving forward in the Department of Justice and the FBI. So I hope you guys are both wrong. We get a lot of questions on my counterpart, the chairman I was the chairman of the Intelligence Committee. The Democrats just got rid of that committee completely and created the impeachment committee. So we get a lot of questions about the chairman of the impeachment committee. So let's play a couple of those clips here, Steve.
I have a two-part question about Adam Schiff. Number one, do you think he believes the things that he says, or is he instead a purely political operative who knows how disingenuous he is? And number two, do you ever exchange niceties with him? You know, how is the weather? How is your drive? How's your pet goldfish, et cetera? Thank you, and I enjoy your show.
My question to you is, and I don't mean this facetiously or rhetorically, but how does Adam Schiff and others like him get away with the lies? Do they not know they're lying? Have they so convinced themselves that it's not a lie? You deal with this on a daily basis. I'm just kind of curious, or is it just purely bald-faced lie? How does this operate? You might know the expression in Portuguese, cara dura, hard face. I think that's probably what they're doing, but I'm not sure. I'd love your insights.
First time we've had Portuguese spoken on the
Very
show.
Nice.
That was a plus. That was a plus. So, Jairus, I'm sure you get this question a lot.
Well, no, I want to just piggyback off what they're saying. When you're next to these people, and God bless you for doing it, do they actually believe this, or is it just purely political? Do they actually truly believe that there's something to get to the bottom of, or is this just what their base wants, and this is what they think is going to satisfy the fringes of their party, so they go out and do it?
You know, the way I look at this, and a lot of people saw the impeachment hearings, how do I converse with them? I only converse with them when it's on the record or through lawyers. There's no sense in having small talk with them at all because they're often just leaking and spinning and building narratives up for the American people and for the media that they control. But to your question, Jairus, do they really believe it? I think some of them, it falls into that old line, the old socialist communist line and Marxist move. If you tell a lie long enough, eventually it becomes the truth. And you get that a lot, you know, like the haters, and we'll have more haters on this show that call in. These people have lost their minds and they've been poisoned. You hear me talk about how so many Americans' minds have been poisoned by this. Is that, do I think that some of these guys actually know they're like the puppet masters? Clearly, yes, right? Like the people that wrote the dossier, Christopher Steele, Fusion GPS, you know, those are racketeering outfits and operations that are working to pull together and build narratives because they're getting paid to do it. But the sad part is that, you know, why do you build narratives? It's so that people start to believe it. And so, you know, I can't tell you how many of the Democrats on the impeachment committee actually believe the rhetoric that they use. You know, and I don't know that they'll ever tell the truth, right? Because they've got to kind of keep the cover going.
It's got to be difficult, though, not just for you, but for other Republicans, that when you had something that was so divisive in regards to the Mueller investigation and other things, that how do you circle back when there is something that you possibly could agree on with them? That these sort of tactics then will then not just mess with this topic, but when you have to get together and work on another bill that you may agree with Adam Schiff on down the line, who knows, whatever it is, how do you repair that distrust? How do you move forward? And that's not just for you, but I think that's what the American people want also, is, okay, this is a point in history where we're going to have to deal with it. But moving forward, eventually we're going to have to circle back and go, okay, let's get rid of that and move forward.
Well, look, I think the main thing that's going to have to happen is that Republicans have to get control of the House again. We have to bring the House Intelligence Committee back, which historically was a very bipartisan committee. Most people didn't even know it existed. Because, you know, we were working with American heroes. We were working with people that are out there around the globe trying to figure out how are the Chinese getting the type of equipment that looks just like ours. You have the questions of Russia, all the things that they're doing all over the globe again. You know, they're pretending, you know, the Soviet Union's back. You have Al-Qaeda. You have the terrorism. All of those issues that really now, for the last 2 years, have gone completely by the wayside. So there's going to have to be a new structure put in place if hopefully the Republicans take control. We're looking at what that would be like in terms of having the members of Congress that are on the Intelligence Committee actually have to do real Intelligence Committee work. And I think a lot of that's going to be getting off the airwaves, and they need to go through, I hate to use this term, they need to go through a long rehabilitation period. And I think part of that's going to be just getting back to the basics, getting off of the Russia hoax issues and getting out there to deal with the real dangerous issues that we have at hand and the men and women who work in these agencies, the 17 agencies that we oversee.
And I think what Jim said, the distrust that's been broken, I mean, to go through this partisan process, the damage that's been done to the country and the committee, it shows a lot about their character as well.
All right, let's go. I have some fans. So we have one more Russiagate question, and then we're going to get to our fans.
Okay.
Which is code word for, I think, haters.
Yeah.
So let's go to, we actually have somebody from John from Georgia and somebody who didn't leave their name anonymous, but more Russiagate.
Your famous memo, or some would say infamous memo, really, really stirred up the hornet's nest. And you share the House chambers with some pretty smarmy folks on the other side of the aisle. Did you anticipate the amount of blowback that the issuance of your memo would have created? Thank you very much for everything you do. Bye-bye.
My question is, what can be done or what is being done to fix our relationship with the allied countries who had deep state actors that played a role in Spygate? And will those actors be punished or held accountable? Thank you.
So what I say is there's actually two really important reports that House Republicans did. One was the Nunes memo, and that was the FISA abuse. That was the conspiracy that the dirty cops at the FBI and DOJ, working with Clinton campaign operatives, used to spin up this entire Russia hoax and fed it into and ultimately into the court system in order to spy on the Trump campaign. That was the Nunes memo. It's also important to know we actually had a report, which is really, I call it the only gold standard report, the only legitimate report, is the report that House Republicans did on the overall, what did Russia do? What did other countries do? What was the involvement of the Trump campaign? We're the only ones that got it right. All the others got it extremely wrong, so much so there's federal investigations going on that you guys don't think anything's going to come up, but I'm still hopeful. So
there's going to be a lot of gloating.
But the Nunes memo was actually written by Trey Gowdy and myself, former Congressman Trey Gowdy. We actually thought when we wrote that was the end. Like once people knew that campaign dirt that was from foreign operatives from these foreign countries, Christopher Steele, supposedly from Russians, we thought once that happened, that was it. The American people, the media, you know, this is when we kind of had some respect that the media were going to be like, whoa, we just got sold a bill of goods. But what we found out afterwards is that the media was in on this. They were receiving the dossier, the Steele dossier from Fusion GPS and the Clinton campaign. So I guess that's how I would sum it up.
Yeah. Once again, more pessimism from yours truly on this one. I think people have gone, I think they just see red. I just think people have now, this becomes so dug in, and that you're either with the president or you're not. You're either with you or you're not. And I don't think facts matter anymore. I think it's gotten to a point where it's gone so tribal. Yeah, I think we're seeing the worst case of tribalism.
But we still have those people in the middle. I know you're pessimistic, but we still have the people in the middle.
I want to believe that. I do. And I think that there are folks out there that are just going to work every day and just want the best for their kids and best for their neighborhoods. And I'm sure they're out there. But the folks that are engaging in political discourse and wanting to be involved and having conversations, I'm not seeing a whole lot of movement here. Like you said, when you had your memo and you worked with other folks saying, hey, here's what's going on here. Yes, we can dislike Russia and dislike what they're doing, especially in the Baltics and other areas. We're not fans of theirs. But in this particular instance, this is what's going on. It didn't matter. It just didn't connect. And it not only didn't connect, the media was using it against folks they didn't like. So once again, pessimism rises and, sorry, you're going to see a lot more of this.
Cheers.
I have to agree that pessimism continues. Well, no, but you hit the nail on the head. The facts don't matter. And we all know the facts not mattering to the general population obviously benefits one side.
Right.
But I can only imagine how you must have been like the smart kids in class, you and Trey Gowdy. You put together all the work for the book report. You did all the study and the research. And then the teacher just didn't really even care about it and barely
gave us an F.
Pretty much, yeah.
Trey wasn't reminding the teacher that the teacher didn't give you guys homework yet.
Well, you know, it is kind of
sounds
amazing,
a little bit Trey.
Rod Rosenstein, who now has had a kind of an epiphany here in the last week or so, that you know he kind of admits now that had he known at the time, would he have pointed to Mueller and would he have clearly the issues with the FISA gate? But I think more questions have to be asked.
Yeah.
The Senate's got to bring in Rosenstein and others for depositions, much longer than just kind of the Senate show trials. And ultimately, I believe the truth will prevail despite the two of you. But I want to just, I want to thank all the folks that asked the Rush Hoax questions. We're gonna do this again. But longly awaited, we also are going to play the haters.
Yeah. Oh, now we get to have some real fun.
More people who like us. I love
this. My fans. So,
yeah.
So clip 8.
Moo. Oh, wait. Maybe I should be mooing in Russian. Mooski. Mooski, comrade. Mooski. Mooski.
Moo. 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 Moo.
It's more of a whale.
Wow.
Is that it?
That's it. Yeah.
All right.
I guess they didn't have a question.
I didn't know there was such thing as Russian cows.
They moo in Russian.
Yeah,
or sound like a whale. Yeah, you'd think they'd take the time to call in. They'd at least, you know, ask.
Not one person's bought Rosetta Stone and gotten cute? Like, come on. I mean, like, you got to get a little more creative than that.
If you're going to hate,
give me an hour and some Rosetta Stone. I'll come up with some stuff for you.
And then the monotone hate continues as well.
It is very monotone. Very, very controlled hate.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm looking for a little more heat.
Supposedly, let's get some heat. Supposedly, we actually have a question.
Oh
thank God.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I just have two questions. One, why are you such a horrible, horrible piece of a human being? And secondly, why are you afraid of a cow? What has a cow ever done to you? Seriously, it's a fucking fake cow. Grow up, get a pair of balls, stop being a piece of and move along with your life. Everyone hates you. Goodbye.
You guys are super pessimists. Do you guys hate me?
Yeah, like you this take guy? This one first, Jim, and then you take that one.
My guy's probably going to say
yes. Why do you have to be a horrible POS?
Because what's a good POS?
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, can you be like, well, he's a POS, but
he's a great POS.
You know, he shows up on time.
Yeah,
a horrible POS. That's a bit much.
Yeah,
that's crossing the line.
You know, but I am disappointed though, right? We get all this hate, right? So if
right.
you get so much hate out there, it's like, what? You have the number. We're gonna play it. Ask a question,
right?
Ask something that we could answer. But
this is like if Twitter could speak.
This is very much. I will agree.
If Twitter could speak,
right.
That's what these voicemails
are. And the nice
are.
Thing about Twitter is that when you actually see folks in person,
yes,
their tone changes quickly, and I can't imagine what you go through. But when someone comes up to me in public and they say, "Well, I saw you on local television, and you talked about this, and you were wrong," and I said, "No, I got 10 minutes for you. Let's do this." Well, no. I'm just saying that you're wrong. Like I don't really want to have a debate with you. I just want to call you names and walk away. That's what this is.
I think that's actually good that you run into them, because most people, they run in their same circles. You know, they go to their little quaint left-wing coffee shops.
I'm a man of the people. I get around.
Oh,
well, and look, really, what this is about is Twitter has allowed all these bots to be formed, and if you're a Republican, they allow
right.
hate speech, they allow defamation, you know, and then they claim that those are parody accounts. But this is the real challenge that we're going to have in this election. Is we talked about whether or not people are paying attention. Well, do people really have a chance when I'm being defamed left and right on these platforms? It's unknown what people actually can receive. You know, Donald Trump, the president, was recently attacked, and you know, his statements were monitored, and there was content being developed by Twitter. And that's really the question, I think, ultimately for the courts are going to have to decide. And it's going to take Congress, really, I think, at some point stepping in also and saying enough is enough. And that's, I think, what these haters are all upset about, is that, you know, I'm not just going to sit and take it. I'm going to take them to court, and we're going to hold them accountable. But defamation is illegal in this country.
But maybe be nicer to the Russian cows. Like, let's try, be a little, not to the regular cows, just the Russian cows. Be nice to the Russian cows.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a Russian cow.
I didn't know either, but you learned something new every day.
We'll
here.
Call Vladimir
yeah,
next time.
Absolutely.
We'll call Vladimir, see what, yeah. See what he, maybe he has some Russian cows for us.
That right. moo in, I just want to hear it moo in Russian. I just want to see the difference.
When RT follows me on Twitter after this post, I'll know somebody was watching.
RT, Russia Today,
yeah.
which by the way, just, you can't make this up. I've never appeared on Russia Today,
yeah.
But guess who has?
Adam Schiff.
Bingo.
Got it.
and others, right. and other Democrats.
Sure.
Yep. Complaining about FISA abuse, by the way. true story. We had
on Russia state television.
On Russia state television. Wow. RT.
Not defending Russian cows.
Yeah, I can't make that one up.
Yeah. But there is video of it. So, all right. So, my staff actually liked this clip. So, my staff, Team Nunes, wanted me to play this clip. And this is the last clip of our special. I'm not sure because I don't even know what this is. But for some reason, they wanted us to hear this and evaluate it. Steve?
I heard this is the voicemail for Devin Nunes' podcast. I hope this is not the wrong phone number and some schmo is getting all these calls. But I just wanted to say to the poor staffer who is listening to all these voicemails and having to work for Devin Nunes, you are working for a complete and total douchebag. And I really hope for you that you will find another and more the job that will make you a little happier and doing something more helpful to the world instead of working for this complete and total douchebag. Thanks. Bye.
Well, I don't know. You guys are here on the show.
At least,
you're part of Team Nunes. What do you guys think?
At least you're a complete and total one. At least you're not half.
And he kind of said my name, right? He almost got my name.
Yeah, I mean, you're not a horrible one. You're a complete one. At least you fulfilled your obligations to become a DB, which is, you know, not a lot of people can do that.
And he encouraged you to find something else.
Right.
The staffer.
Uplifting. Yeah. Sure.
So we close this on an uplifting note.
Absolutely. Always try to look at the bright side of things.
He was kind of giving, well, you guys need to take that your own advice here, but clearly he's given advice to staff. So it wasn't a question. It was advice to my staff, but he probably is now surprised. He got, you know, this is all over the country
now, the
on iTunes and on YouTube. You were heard. So even the haters, you have a chance to be on the Devin Nunes podcast, simulcast on YouTube.
And congratulations on being complete.
Any final closing thoughts? We're going to probably do this in a couple more months. Take some questions.
Keep those questions coming. And I love the Twitter hate. Like, the Twitter hate is amazing. I the first couple times is a little rough for me to see death threats, but like after a while you embrace it. And
my staff sees them all the time.
Oh my gosh! You give me the heads up on that when we did that one episode. The first couple. That's a 10 or 20. We're a little tough to read, but after about 20 or 30, you kind of go, that was creative. Good for you. That's solid work.
No, I love this because every now and then you'll go on your Twitter account or President Trump's Twitter account, and just to read the threads, you'll be laughing out loud sometimes. Now to actually hear it, it's a whole new world. I love it.
Correct their grammar. Oh my gosh.
That's correct.
Correcting grammar on Twitter threads will send them into a new stratosphere of angry. Yes. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well,
there's,
I guess
there's only really one there on Twitter. I figured that out.
And look, that really is. I mean, that's why I'm moving over to Parler, and I really have warned people about using Google and Facebook. Now, look, we have to do it. We have to be on YouTube. You know, really no other place that I can be to get video out like this to my constituents. I just hope that I'm not being shadow banned or regulated.
It's coming.
It's probably coming.
I know someone on the Intelligence Committee. I'll reach out and see if you're being followed or anything like that.
If the Intelligence Committee actually exists anymore. I'm not sure it does.
Yeah.
Not sure it does. Well, guys, thank you so much. And I want to thank all of you for your questions. And we'll do this again in a couple months. And we'll have Jarrison and Jimmy back. Thanks, guys.
Anytime.
It's Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We've started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith.
Not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands.
afraid.
That's why they call her the home of the brave.
With a prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.